I'm Robin Chait, Associate Director for Teacher Quality at the Center for American Progress, and joining me is Rodney Wilds, Principal of T. Wingate Andrews High School in Guilford County, North Carolina. T. Wingate Andrews High School participates in the Mission Possible program, a comprehensive teacher incentive plan that combines a number of components to keep and attract highly effective teachers and administrators in schools with critical needs. The program includes ongoing specialized training, extensive collaborative support, reduced class sizes, recruitment incentives, and performance incentives. Guilford County is a recipient of a Teacher Incentive Fund grant to support their Mission Possible program. The grant allowed the county to expand the program to 7 additional schools. Can you tell us briefly how the Mission Possible program works in your school?
Yes. Currently, here at Andrews High School, Mission Possible has 2 components. There is a recruitment component where teachers in the contents of math as well as English are given a bonus just for teaching at our school. And then the second component is the incentive of reaching goals of student growth within their individual classrooms. So you don't have to make the school-wide goal, but if you increase student achievement within your classroom, you also are eligible for the Mission Possible incentive.
So teachers are rewarded for their performance with student achievement.
Correct.
And is there a professional development component as well?
It is. Each teacher that is identified as a Mission Possible teacher must complete certain professional development training throughout the, every year.
And what does that training entail?
Well, it varies. It varies from instruction, best practices, cultural trainings, for example, understanding racism. So it runs from culture to student or best practices in the classroom as well.
And how long has your school been implementing the program, and how have teachers responded to it?
This is the third year. My previous school, Jackson Middle School, which started the Mission Possible program in 2006. The experience is there. At first, it appeared to be a little, I wouldn't say divisive, but there were teachers who felt like they all had their share in helping student achievement. I was very careful not to bring or focus on Mission Possible teachers. I treated the staff as one equal team. I did not get a great deal of fallout, but I think it was obviously due to how we implemented the program in terms of keeping teachers' morale and keeping their confidence intact when talking about incentives when they all were teaching in the classroom.
So not all teachers were Mission Possible teachers? Can you explain that?
No. The only teachers that are eligible for Mission Possible would be your math teachers and your English teachers.
I see.
And so you have run the gamut, for example, social studies, science, your electives, they are not eligible for the Mission Possible program.
But do all teachers receive the same professional development?
And that's the neat thing about it, yes. We were very fortunate in that because our teachers, a part of Mission Possible, they do have to complete the staff development. It was open for the entire staff. So it definitely saved me and the school a great deal of money that we've had to take out of our own budget that we got for free.
How do you think the program affected teaching and learning in your building this year and in your prior school?
In my prior school, obviously, when you are a school identified as being a low-achieving school, a school that has been identified with a tough school, generally teachers don't want to come. I always felt like if I could get you in my building, you know, I could show you all the wonderful things that were going on. But I needed that carrot, something to say, hey, let me give Jackson Middle School a chance. So we saw where our math and English teachers, those Mission Possible teachers, an influx of applicants due to Mission Possible, but not only just your average teacher, but teachers who were good, who were very effective. Jackson Middle School hadn't made AYP in 4 years. My last 2 years there, we made it 2 years in a row. So it had a definite impact. When you talk about the caliber of teacher, the staff development support, those two pieces play a key part in supporting and helping those teachers raise student achievement.
And you say that you saw an influx of applicants. What do you think attracted them to your school?
Well, you know, I like to say it was me, a great leader. But obviously, I know it was the opportunity to increase their income. Obviously, teachers aren't paid not nearly anything that they're worth in terms of what they do with our children. So, obviously, it was the chance to increase their income. You know, and it's interesting because I never had an interview where I had to really speak to that. No one said, well, you know, I get this amount of money, correct? That never came up. But obviously, it was understood.
Mm-hmm. And what changes have you seen in terms of teachers' instructional practice as a result of the program?
Well, I think it forces them to pay attention to detail because in order to remain in a Mission Possible position, you have to raise student achievement, and that's measured by student or value-added data, which measures the effect that a teacher has on a child in a given school year. And if you have 2 years of negative value-added data, which is 2 years of negative student growth, you will not be allowed to stay in that position.
Hmm.
So I think it raises the bar. It raises the accountability. It also gives principals, and I don't mean to sound harsh here, but it gives us ammunition to move teachers a little quicker that are not effective.
And how do you and how do teachers use that data to change what they're doing in the classroom?
Well, because it gives you an indicator of whether or not the teacher is effective with your low students, your medium or high. If I can get it early enough, then it helps me place teachers with the right groupings, the right setting. It also gives you an opportunity to have that reflective dialogue about best practices, you know, what's working, what's not. And, for example, if a teacher who had an incredible amount of growth, then I would utilize that teacher to talk to other teachers, share, and collaborate so that they can utilize what was successful in that teacher's classroom.
Can you give us an example of some of the kinds of things that you've learned by looking at data?
Well, it's a blueprint. You know, numbers aren't subjective. And it definitely lets me know, you know, where we're going and what or it really narrows down what we need to focus on. You know, it also gives you an opportunity to let you or help you understand that what you're doing may or may not be working.
Mm-hmm. And the Mission Possible program includes both recruitment and performance incentives.
Correct.
Is that correct? And what do you think the role of the performance incentives is in the program, and how has it affected teacher morale, teacher retention?
It's a fine line. It's added pressure. Mm-hmm. Because you have to perform, it can be at times, you know, somewhat overwhelming because, you know, you're typically the Mission Possible schools are schools that have been low achieving. So, you know, you don't have the opportunity to say, well, next year or maybe next year, the year after that, you have to produce now. So along with that pressure, along with having to make sure that you've met all the requirements for your staff development trainings, you know, it can make things at times tense. I think that's where, as leaders, the principals, hoping you keep a gauge on the morale and make those decisions where you know when to push harder and you know when to let up. It's it can be very very demanding.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think overall it has helped teacher retention?
I do. Speaking from my past experience, I didn't have teachers leaving as quickly. In fact, I had zero. I didn't have any teachers leaving my middle school last year in those positions.
Wow. And what do you attribute that to?
I think it's a combination, obviously, the income. And, you know, I like to say that the culture and the support provided not only by administration, but by everyone in the building.
Mm-hmm. What do you think other schools can learn from your experience implementing this program?
I think it's an eye-opener, because one of the things that I always found interesting and kind of gave me a chuckle were those conversations where, you know, Mr. Wiles, I heard all these things about your school and all these rumors, and it's nothing like what I had heard. And it, to me, you know, the best way to market anything is by word of mouth, and teachers do a good job of doing that. And so it will get those people that you need. When I say those people, effective teachers in your building, and they taste success, and they pass the word, and it just catches like wildfire, and it definitely puts your school in a different light. I was so proud because, again, Jackson Middle School was deemed as one of the worst schools probably in the state, and the reputation of that school now is, I mean, it's just the exact opposite.
And how long do you think it took to turn it around?
I was there 3 years.
Okay.
So that first year was a year of understanding the culture, learning your teachers. It wasn't until that second year that we really took off. And then the third year, we were like reaching for the stars.
What do you think the role of Mission Possible was in that turnaround?
The recruiting and attracting effective teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, I don't know if I could have, you know, I used to joke and say I'm going to go to the main thoroughfare and sell donuts. but I don't know if that would have worked. It was the ability, again, to attract those effective teachers.
Great. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your experience and your knowledge
sure.
with us.
Anytime. That's a story that I love to tell.
Thank you.